doesn't become more dominant. We actually don't know what the consequences would be. The concern is that it has a constellation of mutations that would indicate that it might evade the protection from certain antibodies. That's what we mean when we say we're keeping an eye on it. But right now, it is not an immediate threat, even though we take all of these variants very seriously.
Okay. So in other words, now there's something else. So we need a third shot, a booster shot. Are we going to need a fourth shot for the Mu variant? Oh, my God. Coming up, Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18. The president today said climate change is code red. What has the legislature here in Nevada done to address climate change? The liberals are in control. They can have their way. So what exactly did they do in the 81st Nevada legislature? We'll talk about that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Care Group, buying life insurance has never been easier. Whatever you need, life insurance, health insurance, or even long-term care, we can help. Call 702-396-9449. The MultiCare Group has access to all the best markets for your needs. Life insurance quotes are available right now, and they're very inexpensive. In this uncertain world, you need affordability. If you're a male 50, you can buy life insurance of $500,000 for only $41. That's $41 a month. Give us a call today for your no-obligation quote. We provide you with all the personal services you need. And the best part, we will always be with you every step of the way. The MultiCare Group makes buying insurance simple. You may want to inquire about long-term care. We have the most innovative plans available. Call us and find out how you can get care at your own home from a long-term care policy. Call the MultiCare Group today and get peace of mind at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Call us today.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Biden toured storm-damaged areas in New York and New Jersey, promising federal assistance. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Just a few days after surveying hurricane wreckage in Louisiana, the president went to the Northeast, which was hit by deadly flooding. He said the losses were profound and that the country must confront the threat from wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, and other extreme weather.
They've been warning us the extreme weather would get more extreme over the decade. And we're living in real time now.
Mr. Biden met with local officials and residents in New Jersey and New York, promising federal assistance to help people rebuild. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, Louisiana authorities are revoking the licenses of nursing homes that were evacuated to a warehouse where seven residents died amid deteriorating conditions after Hurricane Ida. The seven homes, all owned by one person, clearly failed to execute their emergency preparedness plans to provide essential care and services to their residents. That according to Department of Health Secretary Courtney Phillips. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law an overhaul of that state's election rules. Governor Abbott says the new election law will make it harder for fraudulent votes to be cast, including through mail-in voting and other means.
Another issue that this law addresses is ballot harvesting. It makes ballot harvesting a third-degree felony.
Democrats object to the bill and have already filed challenges to the new law in court. The Minneapolis City Council approved new ballot language that aims to replace the Minneapolis Police Department with a new Department of Public Safety after a judge struck down the previous wording. Judge Jamie Anderson declared the old language misleading and unworkable. She issued the order just hours ahead of a 5 p.m. Tuesday deadline for ballots to go to the printer. On Wall Street, the Dow by 269 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pet more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Third generation lawyers Alex and Orlando DeCastroverde built DeCastroverde Law Group Personal Injury on a legacy of fighting and winning for their clients. If you've been hurt, they will stand by you every step of the way, like family, because family would never let you settle for less than you deserve. DeCastroverde Law Group Personal Injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash, powered by DeCastroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. A Las Vegas man who reportedly berated a flight crew and fellow passengers on a plane Monday has been cited for public intoxication and disorderly conduct. He growled like a dog, reportedly, taking his mask off and gave the middle finger, and swore at flight attendants on the flight from Los Angeles to Salt Lake City. The 61-year-old man was arrested at the gate where he was checked out at a hospital and cited. American Airlines thanked the crew for their professionalism and customers for understanding. A family that spotted their stolen vehicle in central Las Vegas gave chase early yesterday, according to the Review Journal, and ended up being shot at when they attempted to confront the thieves. The man tried to stop his stolen vehicle, which resulted in a minor collision. As the man attempted to get his vehicle back, an unknown number of occupants in the car opened fire. Thankfully, nobody was injured, and the thieves fled on foot. The latest word is they are still on the run. Southern Californians headed home from Las Vegas after the Labor Day weekend faced some major delays, but only a 10-mile backup on 15 South at Prim. Last year, it was 22 miles.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Bumper-to-bumper conditions on the 515 northbound at Pecos with those lane restrictions. Also backups 515 eastbound at Las Vegas Boulevard, only 2 lanes available there. And watch out for some right shoulder activity. That's 515 westbound at Eastern Avenue.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do when followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, it's taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three. Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Welcome in for a Tuesday, hour two. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. It is live and local for a Tuesday. Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. He joins me. How was your holiday?
It was a great holiday. You know, my kids are getting older now and leaving the house. So one of them came home over the weekend to spend time with everybody, and we spent time with the family. My one daughter, you know, we're a volleyball family, and despite the fact that I love basketball, my daughters all have taken up volleyball like their mom, and they do tournaments all the time, and so it's great to be able to watch the kids express their joy and the celebration of life by playing what they like to play, and that's what we did. We went to tournaments and watched them.
Now, are these club tournaments or are these school tournaments?
Most of the time it's club, but, you know, they're getting into schools now. My daughter's a junior playing varsity for her high school, and then I've got a freshman who's at a different school, and she's on the freshman team, and so we're watching those games right now. But, just to spend that kind of time with the kids, and then, you know, we're more homebodies than anything else. My wife especially likes to be around the home, so we sit around and we play games, or we watch a movie, or we just kind of go outside a little bit and play around, and that's a full weekend for us.
I want to get into some of the news of the day, and one of the biggest stories nationally is obviously the whole deal about vaccine mandates in our schools. Can you give us where we are in the CCSD, the fifth largest school district in the nation? Where are we as far as mask mandates? I know they've had school board meetings, board of trustee meetings over the last couple of weeks about this thing. Where do we stand now, and where are we headed as a school district?
Yeah, I think a lot of people know this already, but I'll say, I think they know about the vote that happened last week. They know that the school board trustees have voted to mandate that staff and faculty, teachers, that they be mandated to be vaccinated, not the students so far. So where that leaves us, where we left off last week, is you have to be it's mandated, you have to be vaccinated, but there are going to be some exemptions. And so we're at the point where we're talking about what are those exemptions. They have to put that together to kind of let people know, here are the exemptions, tell us why, and we're waiting for that to come out. Meanwhile, what's happened is there's been a little bit of pushback. I've got people calling me all the time. That day, particularly the day after that vote happened, I had teachers calling me saying, I'm not going to do it. I just don't feel comfortable right now. None of them are saying I'll never take it. A lot of them are just like saying I'm just not comfortable right now, and I'm certainly not comfortable with somebody telling me I have to do it. And I think that's the problem most people are having right now, is being told that they have to do it. It's not necessarily that they're worried about the vaccine; it's they're being told to do it. One particular teacher, I think I've seen her Facebook post. Her concern is, as a fifth grade teacher, her students aren't eligible for the vaccine. And so she's kind of concerned that if she does take the vaccine and does actually end up getting COVID, that she won't even know that she has it and might pass the symptoms along to her kids. Whereas if she doesn't and she gets sick, if she knows it, she'll feel the symptoms, be able to then stay home. It's a logic. I mean, there's a line of logic there, and I understand. But she's concerned. So they started calling me up saying, what do I do? Where can I go from here? A lot of them ask me about microschooling, and a lot of them ask me about other places that they can go. I worry that this is going to have a negative impact on the quality of education in CCSD.
And we already are challenged to begin with. You add this to the mix, that makes it even worse.
Oh, I know. You could probably list off all the challenges we've had over the last, two decades probably here. I don't know. We could probably dedicate a whole show to what are the deficiencies. We'd like to get better, and we seem to be always almost creeping back, and then this, things just kind of happen. Well, this right here, this could be, and I don't like to be the guy who says the sky is falling, but I do acknowledge the fact when there's large groups of people who say, I'm just not going to do it. This is the bridge too far for me.
Okay, let's on the scorecard keep track of who's doing what to whom. The teachers and the teachers' union, they are powerful. Are they going to stand by and let the administration dictate to them that they must get vaccines?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm trying to read the tea leaves here. Remember, this was last week. They had about, how many hours do you think that they had of public comment? Even before they took the vote, they had public comment, and it went on for hours, correct?
Yeah, it was like 6 to 8 hours worth of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I heard, about seven and a half. I know some people fell asleep in the middle of it. So it was a very long comment section or comment period. And so most of it, I would say over 90% of it was, don't do this. And I think we heard from people who were vaccinated saying, I'm vaccinated, I believe in the vaccine, I have faith in the vaccine, but I don't like the mandate. You had people who said, I don't really feel comfortable yet with the vaccine. You had you kind of ran the gamut. You had teachers who didn't want it. You had you had one or two people who were teachers who said they did. My point is that with all that comment, 7.5 hours, it didn't take them very long to then decide, in a vote to mandate it. So I think that there's a lot of things that were already decided before they went in, and all that public comment didn't change a single line. Didn't really influence anybody, in my estimation, those influencers who could have, and talk about the teachers union and maybe others, could have stepped in behind the scenes and said, this is not a good idea. But because the vote was so quick afterwards, I have a feeling that a lot of that stuff was already settled. So I'm not sure you're going to get a big pushback from the teachers union. You may get a big pushback from a lot of the teachers, and maybe even a majority. I have no idea. But I'm not sure about the teachers union being there to protect the teachers who don't want a vaccine.
Hey, Scott, let me just ask you, though, and I've seen this with the Clark County Commission. I've seen on various issues where the members will sit there on the dais and look like they're interested in what people are saying. And for hours and hours and hours, it'll be one way. And then they vote the other way, as if it was already baked into the cake. And I guess my question is, as a guy, I mean, you've been there. You have hearings where you have public comment. And is that just the way it works, that you go in there with an attitude and you're not going to be moved?
Yeah, well, a lot of times we've talked about this issue for weeks or days. In the case of legislation, the legislature is a different beast because things happen so quickly, right? You got one issue today, and it'll be another issue tomorrow. Something is put in front of you right away. The one who controls the agenda is the majority party during the legislative session. So they kind of know already, hey, we're going to introduce this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill. Meanwhile, in the minority, you're trying to keep your head above water and know what's coming up next. So a lot of times they already know what they want to vote on. They already know what bills they're going to pass. And so if they're bringing a bill, for the most part, if they're bringing a bill, they're going to vote yes on it. They've already got their votes. They've already figured it out. Public comment is a way to make sure that people do have a way to say, hey, this is how I feel about it. But it's also a way to kind of vet some bills. Now, that doesn't happen with all bills. Not at all. I mean, some bills, they really do want to know what people think about it. That's why we don't vote for the most part right away. We have a hearing, and then we wait a while, figure out what were some of the details, what were some of the problems with the bill, and we work it out. Now, once in a while, we do get a very controversial bill, and we kind of know the inevitable outcome of it, and that's what I'm thinking that is happening with some of these big things, some of these big issues. I mean, it's a big issue. We certainly would like to see more people vaccinated to kind of keep this is the rhetoric, right, to keep the spread from going. They'd like to see that. And so the question then becomes, who's going to mandate it? We saw the Raiders do it. We saw private businesses do it. But this was kind of this was an interesting one. Now, some people might argue with me and say, well, this is still a business telling its employees you have to be vaccinated. But it is a public business, right? These are public school teachers. So that's what was interesting about it. But going back to your original question, I know there's no doubt in my mind that sometimes when something is this controversial, you have to have, they have already put it in their minds, I'm just going to vote yes or I'm going to vote no. I'll listen to the comments, but I'm not going to be swayed by them. And they certainly didn't take any time afterwards. They didn't listen to public comment and then wait a week or two or even a day or two. They did it that night. And so I think they already had it in their minds what they were going to do.
Well, and that to me, then why waste your time? Why waste the members' time? Why waste the public's time by going through 7.5 hours of public comment when the cake is already baked? It's out of the oven. It's ready to go.
Well, they'll never admit to it. They'll never say, "Hey, I was going to vote no the whole time, and I don't know why we wasted our time." Very few people are going to say, "Hey, this is what I already had it in my mind." I mean, maybe a Tick Segerloo might say it, because sometimes he doesn't care what people think. He's like, "Oh, this is how I am," which that's what I like about Tick Segerloo. He'll tell you exactly how he feels, and he's going to stick to it, and you don't have to guess. There's no like playing politics with him, but for the most part. These guys already had it in their mind what they're going to do. It wasn't a tough vote. It wasn't an easy vote, right? Anytime you have to press a button, you have to say yay or nay, and it's never easy. But I think that they already had it in their mind. Why they sat there for 7.5 hours, you got to ask that question to those folks right there.
Yeah. More with Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18, as we continue. It is Tuesday, the Tuesday after Labor Day. Summer is over. It's done. We'll talk more about that as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
A unique blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
What's the financial fill-up in retirement? Here's Coach Pete to tell you more.
The sound effect? Well, you used to hear that when you pull into the gas pump. But a financial fill-up is a way where you take that lump sum that you've built up for retirement, but you have no idea what kind of income you can get from it, and you translate it to a lifetime monthly income once you reach retirement that you can never outlive every single month. You get another check.
Call Coach Pete and the team, 888-702-6932, 888-702-6932, or text Vegas to 600-700, Vegas to 600-700.
Politics is broken. It doesn't take much to see the way partisan politics so often put the priorities of the political class ahead of those of everyday Nevadans. I'm John Sarpolis, president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. Politics have failed Nevadans for far too long, with both Republicans and Democrats letting down the very people they claim to represent in Carson City. Isn't it time we start putting ideas, started putting policy ahead of the politics and the politicians? Go to NevadaPolicy.org and learn how we're doing just that. As a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, Nevada Policy has put ideas over politics for the last 30 years. And moving forward, free market, pro-liberty solutions, regardless of the political landscape. Partner with us at NevadaPolicy.org and help us build a movement that focuses on the ideas that will make a difference. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It is Tuesday. Believe it or not, we are already into September. Schools are back for just about everybody. Gotta love that. And today the president was in New York and New Jersey and declared climate change a code red. The 81st Nevada legislature, progressives, liberals, they had everything their way. They could pass whatever they wanted. And there was nothing to be disputed. My question is, what did the Democrats do in the 81st legislature relative to climate change? Did they do anything as draconian as what we're seeing in this Green New Deal? Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. What about it? What did they do? Anything?
Well, first of all, I got to address what you just said right before the break. You know, when you said that it's Labor Day and summer's over, you know, when you hear it like that with such finality, it just hurts me a little bit.
It's done. It's done. A lot of the public swimming pools are closed now. I mean, it's like, okay, kids, go back to school and shut up.
Yeah, like they turn the light switch off, right? It's completely done. It's over.
Oh, man.
We had a good run. It was a good time. But now get back to serious stuff, you know, no more fun. But yeah, when you said it, it just reminded me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no more wearing white.
Oh my God! After Labor Day.
So you know, you're absolutely right. The Democrats had the majorities that they needed for the most part for almost anything dealing with policy during the last session, right? If we're talking about raising revenue, they obviously had to get some votes both in the Senate and the Assembly from Republicans. But when it comes to policy, they could have passed almost anything they wanted to. And I'll say that you didn't see an overwhelming drive to pass something like the Green New Deal in the state of Nevada. For the most part, when it comes to climate change legislation, a lot of people turn to Senator Brooks, Chris Brooks, who's a Democrat. He passes a lot of legislation. A lot of times, he sits down with Republicans and says, where can we go with this? He works with us. A couple of years back, I think it was a 2019 session. Might have been 17 session. We were talking about renewals and how large a portfolio had to be renewal. We sat down and said, look, we've had in our state for many years a lot of renewals. It was coming from hydroelectric. And so he did put that in. We actually amended one of his bills, and they said that hydroelectric could count to a certain percentage because we had so much already coming from Lake Mead. So, this last session, he passed a really big bill. It was SB 448, if I'm not mistaken. We increased the number of transmission lines to be able to capture a lot of the renewable energy that's going on in the state so we can then put it up on the grid and then sell it, use it here, but also sell it across different jurisdictions, like going into California when they had their brownouts. So there was some legislation that we discussed and went over. Like I said, we discuss a lot of these things ahead of time, but then during the hearings, we go through. This particular bill did not receive a lot of hearing time, and it seemed like a lot of it was already predestined. They wanted to pass this. He did work with some of the companies, maybe not as well as some of these companies wanted to. NV Energy was a big pusher of this, but in the end, it did pass.
is Envy Energy, I mean, they're what a lot of people want them to do is to get away from fossil fuel. Absolutely. Are they ready to give up on fossil fuels?
No, not completely. They're moving towards it. Look, when you hear people use terminology like zero, I hear all the time they would like to see zero
emissions,
fossil fuels, or zero emissions, right? Yeah. Zero emissions. A lot of times they know it's impossible to get to zero emissions.